Are we going to get off incestuous Nazi porn?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm your co-host, Ian Boothby.
Well, thank you for coming on my show this week.
All right.
I'm really glad that you came because I wanted to ask you a
question. Oh, I won't be answering any questions. I will only be making statements.
You're only making statements?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me start you off by asking
Neapolitan ice cream is overrated. There's always a flavor you don't want and you're paying for. Don't be a chump. Buy the flavors you want and mix them together yourself at home to save. That's my summer tip.
That's your summer tip?
Yep.
You don't like Neapolitan ice cream? You seriously don't like Neapolitan ice cream?
I don't like the gooey bits in the strawberry. I think if you're going to put strawberries in your strawberry, then make your strawberry. But don't give me this weird, like, it's like when you have jam and you run out of jam and you leave the jam jar in the fridge. And then you try to get some jam out and you get that kind of gelatinous, and you're scraping it and it's not really.
The kind of foamy part.
And it comes out in the shape of the jar. That's what it feels like they chop up and put in the strawberries. And it's like, I don't need that business. I don't need that business. We don't have chunks of the vanilla bean in the vanilla. We don't have chunks of the cocoa bean in the chocolate. Why do we got to do this with strawberry? Knock it off. Buy the flavors you like. Mix them together at home. All right. But what was your question?
Favorite flavor of ice cream.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
If you went to the ice cream store, commonly known as an ice creamery.
Butter pecan.
Butter pecan.
Yeah, I like a butter pecan.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know why that's interesting? Because it's so wrong.
Okay. That you like what is that. The best flavor? By the way, vanilla is still pretty good.
I like vanilla too.
Yeah.
But I would never go to like a Baskin-Robbins, let's say, that has 31 flavors of ice cream.
Right.
And get a vanilla.
But if you went to, say, a really high-end ice creamery, really high-end, I would say I would get the vanilla there to see what they're going to do with the simplest thing, because I bet their vanilla would be insanely good. And it wouldn't have a whole bunch of business in it, you know, showing off. Just like... Just nice vanilla. Like when you go to Ernest Ice Cream here in Vancouver,
yes.
The Tahitian vanilla,
mm-hmm.
So delicious.
I've never had it because the Tahitian part of it scares me.
That's a little too fancy for you?
I feel like it's going to have pineapples in it.
It does not. It's just vanilla.
Okay.
Well, it's just straight vanilla.
It just makes you think of Hawaii.
Okay.
So it's like ham and pineapple.
And you hate Hawaii.
Ham and pineapple with vanilla ice cream. I just don't think that's a good mix.
Okay, you're mixing a lot of things together that have nothing to do with each other. All right, but go ahead. You don't like... Okay, go ahead.
My favorite... If I went to the store and I was buying it, and someone said, you can get anyone
your
you want.
Your local shoppe.
My local shoppe. Not going to an ice creamery.
Right.
I would get...
Or a gelatinarian.
A gelatinarian. I wouldn't go if I went to either place.
Yeah.
My favorite one would be like... you know, like a Cherry's Jubilee? Like the kind that has like... I really like the cherry custard one.
Okay.
The cherry custard, like so you get like a custard ice cream with chunks of cherry in it.
Let me ask you this. Do you prefer an ice cream or a custard, a frozen custard?
Well, I don't really know them. I don't know what a custard is.
You don't know what a frozen custard is?
No, I never had it, I don't think.
Then there's a place that we have actually eaten, you and me, that's the American cheesesteak. I think it's called Factory or something, but American cheesesteak something. But we've gone there for cheesesteaks.
Yes.
After this very show, we have.
Okay.
And they also there have frozen custard. I would say next time, as you were leaving, ask for, excuse me, sir, or yeah. Madam.
Madam.
Or whatever you, you know, please, could I have a frozen custard? And they will go, yes, sir. And you try it and see what you think.
I can't believe that I've been there and did not get the, although, you know, they're big sandwiches, and so maybe I was full after.
You were damn full. How could you not be full?
The fries are good there, too.
Right. Speaking of big sandwiches, last week after the show, giving you a lot of after-show talk at the beginning of the show. Again, the first 10 minutes of the show is garbage. Don't worry about it. Fast forward if you want. You went to White Spot, as we often do.
Yes. A popular BC-based restaurant.
Right.
Not known outside of the confines of British Columbia.
Nope. And maybe it shouldn't be.
Why?
It's okay. It's fine, but I don't know if it would necessarily travel well.
No, I think everywhere has it. And please write in and let us know this restaurant. The restaurant that isn't really known outside of maybe the area you grew up in or the province or state you grew up in. But because you went there as a child, you have a deep sentimental attachment with it.
That's right. You've
bonded. And you'll put up with it.
You're like the baby duckling that woke up and, not woke up, but was abandoned by its mother. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the mother was eaten by a fox. And then the baby duckling imprints on the fox as the mother.
Okay.
And maybe the fox isn't the best mother for the duckling.
No, it raises it and then eats it later on.
And we have maybe. Yeah. And we have imprinted on this restaurant, White yeah. Spot. Why I bring
the
up...
The reason you imprint on it yes. as a child is because you get this brilliant idea, which is a pirate pack.
Oh, okay, yes.
Which is a pirate ship, a cardboard pirate ship,
mm-hmm.
which it's not that impressive once you're an adult. But when you're a kid and they bring over an entire pirate ship with a mast, the straw is the mast.
Right.
For some reason, they give you two straws, and you just get to keep the mast. You don't ever take the mast apart. But
well, you know why you have a second straw. You're supposed to take the second straw.
Yeah.
Put it above your lip. Hold it there.
Hold it there.
Okay. And then say.
Yeah.
That I was born on a pirate ship.
Oh, okay. And then your dad gets mad at you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it has like little.
By the way, try that at home if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Well, you have to pull your lips apart with your fingers to
you
say.
You could also do it that way. I think, like, if you do this way and I was born. Yeah, I think.
Maybe.
All right. We'll try it later on tonight when we have a burger. We'll go ahead.
And then in this pirate ship, there are various little nooks and crannies for your hamburger to go or whatever you happen
your
to
prisoners.
Order. Your prisoners. A plank for your pickles if you don't like pickles. And then, like, you know, and then you get the ice cream. At the end, and then the awesome gold coin. So once you get that as a kid, you just cannot help but love that restaurant for the rest of your life.
So now as an adult, you're going there, and you ordered something that I've been there once before,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a teenager order.
Yeah.
And his mother rolled, I assume mother, legal guardian, maybe elderly lover, rolled their eyes
and went, oh,
and then it was overcome, but he could not eat it. He eyes bigger than the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Had to split it up, tried eating it individually, and this was the triple patty burger.
That's a triple, as
triple, triple
it.
Which means you're tripling your burger and what else?
Cheese.
And?
Pickles.
There you go. So you,
it's very nice.
So you went for the triple, mm-hmm. and how did you feel after you'd consumed it?
Oh, fine. Yeah, that's nothing.
Could you have had some frozen custard afterwards?
Sure.
All right.
No problem. No, that's nothing. Three patties. And what's nice about that burger, actually, is that
And that's why it's unlike the Peanuts comic strip, which only had two patties.
Mm. Unlike, in the past, I don't know what happened to that restaurant. You're really enjoying the joke. I'll let you laugh. In the past, they kind of went downhill.
I like unfunny jokes. Okay, go ahead.
They went downhill for a while in their cooking.
White Spot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their patties were awful. They were thin and overcooked quite often, as if they were really afraid of someone getting sick from hamburger.
When I went to college, Douglas College, it's a real college, shut up, our cafeteria.
It's more of an alcove surrounded by a college.
It was not a White Spot that our cafeteria was, but it was a White Spot.
Mm-hmm.
It served White Spot food.
Yeah.
But it didn't call itself White Spot, or in any way refer to itself as White Spot.
Yeah.
Very confusing. It's like if you had a cafeteria at your school that served Big Macs.
Yeah.
They were clearly Big Macs.
Yeah.
And they went, is this a McDonald's? Oh, no.
No.
Well, how did you get the shh? Very, very weird.
That's right. The lunch lady reaches out and puts her fingers on your lips.
Yeah. Shh. And then you see that it's Ronald.
Yeah. Ronald. It was a good hamburger, though, because the patties were really nicely cooked. Like, they weren't overcooked. They were really nice and juicy. And then you got that really great hamburger eating effect when you're eating something that large, where it begins to lengthen out like you're growing a duck bill.
Okay.
You know, so you're trying to squeeze down the hamburger, but instead of like squeezing it into your mouth, everything is going backwards away from you. So you spend a lot of time spinning it and eating it. But
yeah,
no,
you got to do
really
the rotating because it's also dripping. And
then, of course,
you take your glasses, you put them on the back of your head, Guy Fieri style.
That's right. Dislocate your jaw and then take a giant.
And then you've got to say something. Okay, how about this? Let me give you this challenge. So let's pretend that you just took a bite of that mm-hmm. burger, remembering it, a sense memory. Say something Guy Fieri-esque about the burger. That he would say on Triple D.
Okay, I would take a bite. So I take a ginormous bite, and while I'm chewing, and it's still stuck to my mustache and sort of dripping down my whiskers.
Right.
I say, "Oh, that's money. Oh, that is a trip to Flavortown.
Mm-hmm.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner."
What does he say?
I'm not getting any thinner. What's that? Sorry?
What does he do when he has a chicken dinner? Then, if he says that when it's the beef burger,
he just says it whatever because it rhymes. It works every which way.
But that is a ticket to Flavortown.
It is a ticket to Flavortown. It was good. It was good.
Okay. No, that's good.
I liked it. I mean, I am not a big... I'm like kind of a purist with it. Like when I was a kid, when you got the legendary burger,
mm-hmm.
you got your burger, you got some kind of like relish stuff on it.
By the way, let me interrupt you to say...
Yeah.
You know all the many, many, many restaurants you see that go, famous whatever, our famous, world famous breakfast, world famous pizza,
yep.
world famous this.
Yep.
It's never world famous. Look, instead of famous,
yeah,
let's throw in that word legendary.
Yeah, they went with legendary.
Pretty good. Yeah. You know, that's a word that makes something. It's a mm-hmm. legendary. It's a and legendary, you know what? Figure. Frankly, mm-hmm. that might not even be a lie. Because it's just a legend. It's the legend of the burger. As long as someone tells a story
yep.
about the burger,
yep.
that's true. It is a legendary burger.
That burger is well known to have killed a bear.
Right. So think if you saw a place and it was like legendary pizza.
It fought
like,
a lion.
Yeah. Well, you might think you're going to be served by an elf and like fight
stables.
An orc on
cleaned
the way to
some
it.
Stables.
Yeah. Okay.
Did a lot. What was I saying?
You were saying how good burgers.
Oh
were.
Well, but I like what I you know what I grew up with and what I like is just like the plain burger, like with no lettuce or tomato on it, just with the condiments that it comes with, the bizarre.
And you would think would those condiments be say ketchup? No sir.
No.
Oh, mustard then my friend.
Nope.
No. Well, clearly mayonnaise would be one of those.
No. Nope.
Oh, well then onions, sir, would be on this burger.
Uh-uh.
Well, then I assume, sir, you must be speaking of tomatoes.
Nope.
Well, then clearly, sir, all that remains is lettuce.
Don't get that
idea. So what fucking toppings are you talking about?
Yeah, some kind of strange relish. And then this weird thing that is like mayonnaise, but it's not mayonnaise. I don't know quite what it is.
And they call it?
Special O sauce, right?
Triple O.
Oh, sorry, triple O sauce. I've only eaten there once. A week. Yeah, it's triple O sauce.
Which, let's be honest, probably is a mix of like some sort of mayonnaise and ketchup.
It is a mayonnaise. It's kind of like chicken sauce.
It's a little Thousand Island-y. It's mm-hmm. it's in the Thousand Island family. Basically, it could mate with Thousand Island and have a child that looked normal.
We were having a dispute at work that McChicken sauce was just mayonnaise. So I looked it up on my phone.
Yeah.
And it said, McChicken sauce is not mayonnaise. We use different starches. And I thought, it's still, it is just mayonnaise, but you've just put different.
So it's McMayonnaise.
Different starches in it. But my daughter was at McDonald's and she asked for McChicken sauce. And the guy behind the counter said, you know, that's just mayonnaise. And she said, I want McChicken sauce, not McJudgment. I thought it was a good joke. Yeah. That's one who wouldn't speak on the show. The funny one.
But she will speak out. Sure. When it comes to the justice of the sauce. All right, that's a good question. Like whether or not it's mayo or it tastes a little different. It tastes like mayonnaise that's been left out a little bit. You know, it's got a bit of a tang to
well,
it. And
has.
If you leave it out for another it couple has. Of days, it then becomes
You're
special
right.
sauce.
But you know what's funny? When we went down to see Field Music, I don't know if this is funny. Don't expect to laugh at this, but we went down to Field Music.
Is it no, it's no Peanuts had only two patties?
No, that is a classic.
Okay.
That will live through the ages. That joke is legendary. But we went down to see Field Music, and when we were leaving, I thought, you know what, we should just go through the McDonald's drive-thru. And, so
nothing better than those fries in the bag, eaten in the car.
Yes, you like that, don't you?
Of course, everyone does. They're hot, they're in the bag, you open the bag,
I don't actually
it smells
like,
great.
No, I don't like,
just
I don't
eat
like
the
it.
Fries right out of the bag.
Don't like
so
it.
So good.
Because I like the fries with a vinegar bath.
Mm.
And a lot of ketchup.
Mm, you don't have to do that.
Which you can't
already.
Do while you're
They're
driving.
Good already. They're good
yeah,
already.
No,
you have to do that with a lot of
I
fries,
that.
But not these.
I need that.
Where are we, Burger King?
It's no good for me.
Where are we, Burger King, where they're ashamed of their fries and they keep changing them every 5 fucking minutes? Now they're planks. Now they're sticks. Now they're curly fries. Fuck off. Do you know who doesn't have curly fries? McDonald's. You know why? Because they don't need curly fries.
Their fries are good. I'm not going to say bad.
Yeah.
I gave the fries. I ordered a meal because I just wanted the drink and the burger. I gave the fries to my daughter, to Eve. And I remember when Eve was Phyllis. Anyway, so then she loves McChicken sauce. So I said, could I get some McChicken sauce with the fries? And the guy said, there's no such thing as McChicken sauce. It's just mayonnaise. I don't know why he had a southern accent, or not. It had some sort of rural accent, I guess I should
right.
say. And I said, okay, can I get some mayonnaise with those then? And then he said, no. I was like, why? Just tell
Why
me
are
you
we
don't
even
have
having this
chicken?
Conversation? Yeah, Why are we even having this conversation?
That's right. Stop the train in the station.
Yeah.
Don't go partway down the road and then stop it.
That's it. I went to, we're doing a lot of McTalk right now. They had a, you ever been to the McDonald's in Seattle that's got the, it's got like a pulley system and it's got like a, I'm trying to describe this.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a drive-through.
Okay.
And while you're in the restaurant and they're serving you the walk-in customer your meal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. But now, the drive-thru wants a burger, fries, and a thing. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
They take it, they put it in a bag,
yeah.
and then the person attaches it to like a little pulley. It yeah. whips up to the ceiling, whips across the ceiling. It's in a tube,
yeah.
but you can see through,
yeah.
and it just whips across the ceiling and then drops down outside to where the server serving the person out there does. But it's this whole elaborate wow. Willy Wonka-ish situation
I
with like
it.
Bags whipping overhead.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I yeah. love it. I have not been there.
Very exciting.
Where is it near?
It's very near where Emerald City Comic Con is. Just walking distance. It's the McDonald's that's closest to there.
Okay, so
very
is it by
close
the
to Pike
oh down
Pike,
the,
Pike not, Market, yeah.
It's not by like the Hyatt?
I don't know, but I just know it's the one that it's the one okay. that's close.
Okay.
But it had all this business. It was like, yeah, what's yeah. this all about?
Wow.
Oh, geez, McDonald's.
Let's spend some more interesting time trying to figure out where it is in Seattle.
okay,
is it near
sure. the, Yeah, is it near there? It's near the street. Near I don't know the streets of Seattle very well.
No,
at
me
all.
Neither. When we were there, when we the very first time, not the very first time, but the very first time, I guess the first time I drove down to Seattle,
mm-hmm.
the time when we went with Chester Brown, a lady that we were with told me the mnemonic device for remembering the streets in Seattle.
Oh, good. This is a good
but
thing
But what
know.
She didn't tell me was a mnemonic device to remember the mnemonic device that she had told me. So I have no idea what it was now.
Oh.
But it was something to do with Jesus doing something.
Oh, well, that's easy to remember because Chester writes about Jesus.
He does. He does a lot. I read a bit of that book, actually. That,
okay, we can talk about that a bit.
I haven't finished all of it.
All right, then we can only talk a bit about it.
We can talk a little bit about it. And that'll make some of our listeners very happy. Yeah, but I don't remember it. It was kind of a witty thing. It was like a little... each of the roads spelled out a word in a sentence, sort of like, you know, every good boy deserves fudge or whatever.
This is actually a really good thing for a podcast is things I almost remember.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell some jokes that we almost remember the punchline to, tell some stories we don't remember where they go, mm-hmm. and talk about people from high school we don't quite remember either.
Yeah. Why not?
Remember that person who wore all the goth makeup?
You know what? I don't think our show is famous for our memory. I don't think that's what people listen to our show for. I don't think they're like, man, those guys are damned accurate.
As a matter of fact, if something ever does happen to our memnemy, oh my gosh, that's a bad sign, right? Huh? When you're trying to talk about having a stroke and you actually can't say the words, that's sign one of it, right? Okay, knock on wood, nothing's wrong.
So we're talking about our sea anemones.
But I'm saying like doctors could listen to this show and see where we started to slip.
Yeah.
And just go, this is the place where at this point,
sure.
the Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where he started to forget to call his daughters by the fake names and started calling them by the real names. That was probably where that all happened.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was funny. We were talking at work today about Videodrome. And then we're talking about the first time I watched it, you know, I just watched it and my mind was blown. And then the second time I watched it, when I was a little older, I could recognize the part where it goes into a dream.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, how did I miss that the first time? Like, it's fairly obvious in the film. And I can't remember exactly what the turning point is, but there's a turning point. And suddenly you realize that James Woods' character is in a dream sequence, like a kind of very extended dream sequence. And then we were talking about They Live, the John Carpenter
Rowdy,
film.
Roddy yeah, Piper.
That's right.
Yep.
And I said about that film, I said, that's interesting because in that film, you can see the exact moment where they ran out of money. Like you can just see it happen right on the screen, right in front of you. You know, it's like, okay, we got no money. A rooftop fight. We'll just solve everything with
yep.
it. You know, good enough. Get it done.
And you know what? I think history has shown good enough.
It was a great film.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
People definitely, and if it's not a great film, certainly is good enough.
Well, I wish we talked a bit more. I was talking to someone at work and it was underrated films of the 80s. And that was one of the films that they were talking about. And so he brought that up because he had never seen it. I said, this is a pretty good film. I wouldn't want to overstate it because I don't actually think it's his kind of film. I don't think he's quite ready for a 15-minute long fight sequence.
It is a long fight sequence.
But brilliant because of that. I think. Like, I just think it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's one of the most realistic fight sequences you're going to see in the people getting exhausted and it's unpleasant.
Yes,
and it's like, it's one of those, like, you know how you were saying when you were a kid, you and your brothers would watch something and then afterwards you'd be so full of beans you'd want to beat each other up?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'd watch that film and just go, let's never fight again. it just looks really unpleasant.
Yeah, unlike The Warriors, which is like balletic violence that makes you excited because it feels like, oh man, you could just like fight anyone and not get hurt. You know, you guys with baseball bats.
You just got to have a good costume.
They just fly in the air.
My problem with They Live, and I might have mentioned this before on the show, is I used to work at a video store, and I would have to do cash at the end of the night, and people would steal that I worked with, and I would have a giant poster of They Live in front of me. So while I was counting and realizing we were short, again, $60 or whatever, just the amount that a guy would steal, and going, I'm going to be here for another hour trying to, because they're going to say, do it again. I'd be looking at that poster. And so I really got to resent They Live.
I thought
just
it was
because of the poster.
I thought it was because people would come in the store asking for the video for They Live. So it was just so frustrating after
a while. Yeah, were you looking for the band The Live?
The Live. No, the movie. Live.
Oh, okay. Live? I wish I could help you. Did Rowdy what else did Rowdy Piper do movie wise? Did he do something with frogs? Am I wrong? Did he do Hell Comes to Frog Town?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I
know he did some other
bad-ish. People who really liked his performance in that so much. And I think they tried to follow up with other movies, and it didn't quite work out.
Well, he never had as good a film. I mean, that's a great film. They Live is, you know, it's an interesting time period because I feel like, you know, John Carpenter walked away from a big movie career at that point. He'd done The Thing, which was a very expensive film. He'd done Big Trouble in Little China, another big budget film, and neither of which were big hits. But I don't think he'd worn out his welcome in Hollywood. Like, I think there was probably still money there for him. But I think he made the decision to just walk away from the big money and to make films with a smaller budget. And I mean, it had its drawbacks, obviously. Like They Live, like I say, you can literally see where the movie kind of just stops.
And yet that was the time to be doing that kind of movie because people were going to video stores. And so they were looking for an interesting, weird film.
It's
And you will let slide a lot more things on your VHS than you will in a movie. So, you know, oh, this looks interesting. Put it in. Yeah, that's dumb enough. You'll enjoy it. So you could get the cheapy horror movie, cheapy comedies.
Yeah.
And people, you know, kind of got a taste for those.
Yeah, I mean, that film was very good. And then I think the film that came right after it, Prince of Darkness, is another brilliant film.
Like, I have not seen that one.
It's a very good movie. I mean, it's more of a horror film than They Live. But it's just very interesting in this. Its use of very low-budget effects to make a very effective film. The only part of it I don't like is it has a sequence with kind of street people kind of rising with the rising of evil in the film. But like the main one is played by Alice Cooper, which kind of bugs me because you're like, oh, there's Alice Cooper leading the street people. Why isn't he golfing in Arizona? Like, why is he leading street people in this town? It doesn't make any sense. Why is Vincent Furnier there? You know, like it doesn't, why? Don't do that.
He's an actor. He's in a film.
But I mean, he's not really. He's not really an actor.
Why is Jack
actor,
Nicholson
though.
Here? Yeah, what's he doing?
I can take.
What's that Clint Eastwood doing in this movie?
But I can watch.
Why isn't he the mayor of that?
No. That's not right. That's not right. No.
What's going on?
No. No, that doesn't work.
But Alice Cooper is different.
Yeah, because he's different. He's a celebrity. He's not an actor.
Do you mind Alice Cooper say in A Nightmare on Elm Street, beating up a young Freddy Krueger as his dad? Would you? Does that bother you?
Yeah.
So no celebrity cameo. Celebrity cameos take you out of a movie.
Well, that kind of thing where it's just obviously that he's not really an actor. He's
a
musician.
Makes him not an actor.
He's a musician.
Yeah, but he's a musician who sings.
He's a friend of John Carpenter's, and he said, I'd like to be in your movie. And John Carpenter said, okay, I'll put you in this little role.
But Alice Cooper sings in character. He puts on makeup, like Kiss, and, you know, does a thing. That's not what he's like. So clearly he's doing a thing. He's acting. So does it bug you when Gene Simmons is in a movie? Like in a Runaway, as he's the villain.
Well, but that's more of a major role. Yeah, I can take that.
You could take Alice Cooper if he was like a lead.
Yeah,
you can't take him as a little bit of Alice Cooper. Give me a lot or nothing.
Yeah, it just feels like he's just there because he's Alice Cooper, not because he's. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't feel right. It'd be like watching a movie and.
Well, I mean, like, every time Alice Cooper comes on, you go, oh, there's Alice Cooper.
Exactly. Like, if you're watching a movie and, like, someone went into a store and they're buying some gum, and the guy behind the counter is played by David Lee Roth.
Okay.
Let's say, back in the 80s during his big time, not now. When you wouldn't even recognize him.
No. Well, he was just a gigolo. And now now people don't know him.
Yeah.
What will they say about him? We can ask right now, because now is the time. What do we say about him? The end came. We know. He was just a gigolo. Yeah. Life goes on without him.
Sure.
Yeah, he's got no buddy.
He's got no buddy. And no money. I think he has money, but maybe I'm wrong.
There was I've got to tell you this real quick.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
For about a year, there was a fake David Lee Roth in Vancouver. Did you know that?
Pretending to be David Lee
Roth.
There
was a guy who was actively pretending to be David Lee Roth, living in
name.
Vancouver. Yes, living off his name. Mm-hmm. Would hang around kind of comedy shows and, you know, some music stuff. And, yeah, he would, like, flirt with girls and do stuff. And he was selling that he was David Lee Roth. And then at the end of about a year, someone figured out, that ain't David Lee Roth. And that was the end of fake David Lee Roth.
How did they figure it out?
How'd they figure it out?
Yeah.
I think someone noticed David Lee Roth is doing something over here.
Oh, okay.
When our David Lee Roth is over here, that's not David Lee Roth. But he let it. It went for quite a while. And a person I know actually, I think, dated him for a short period of time. Fake David Lee Roth.
Wow.
Yeah.
It turned out it was the director Eli Roth, the days when he was David Eli Roth.
Sure. That's right. Two patties. That's why it's different.
Legendary.
Peanuts had two patties. Legendary triple burger, three patties. Continue, David.
About so, yeah, John if you Carpenter. Walked into a store.
Yeah.
Or the character went into a store. Let's say it's...
Let's say it's an ice creamery.
Let's say it's an ice creamery. And there's David Lee Roth behind the counter. You're not going to be like... You're going to be taken out of the movie for that second because you'd be like, oh, David Lee Roth. What? Why is he working in a... Because you're not going to think, oh, there's a person who works behind a counter in a
Let store. Me ask you this then. So you're watching The Prestige. Well, who's Tesla? It's David Bowie.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Takes you out of it.
Takes me out of the movie.
All right.
Yeah. Because then I'm like noticing that it's David Bowie. I'm not noticing...
I thought he did a nice job as Tesla.
He was fine. He was... I mean, how do you know? Did you know Tesla? He could do anything. He could walk with a limp. He could walk around with his finger over his lip.
I'm not saying it was a good impression of Tesla. I'm saying it was just a good Tesla. I was like, oh, that's an interesting character. I liked him.
Okay.
Did you not like him as Tesla?
It was David Bowie.
Being Tesla.
How I can't this? Tell. I don't know what
did
David
you like,
Bowie is.
Do you like David Bowie in the Twin Peaks movie? Or did that take you out of it? Fire Walk with Me.
I don't remember. What was he in? I've only seen that film once. And that
he was
the
guy.
Came
he came in. He was an agent. And was like, I've seen it. I've seen all the things. And then something happens and lights go out and then he vanishes and you never see him again. Something happens. He got sucked away into the other world.
I have
world.
To admit, I didn't mind that because it's such a goofy movie that anything could happen.
And it didn't bug you that Chris Isaac was in that movie?
No, not at all.
Because you thought he was going to be in it more. But he wasn't.
But
he was very interesting in that movie.
Yeah.
And he should really come back in the new version, I'm guessing. All right.
That would be good. The problem with... Do you want to talk about Twin Peaks just for a second?
Sure.
Because here's my problem with
Have
all
you seen
Twin
the
Peaks.
Cast list?
Here's my problem with
Huge.
All Twin Peaks. Is that right?
Oh my gosh, so many people in the cast list. Yeah, to the point where you look to see if your name is there. You get so much that you're just like, I'm just going to double check to make sure I'm not in this thing.
I play a character who has an ice creamery.
Right.
In it, yeah. You'll see
I
me.
I play, you know how Josie, a little bit of spoilers, turns into a dresser. I'm the matching dresser on the other side. And we have kind of a Bickerson's relationship.
You keep slamming your drawers.
That's right. Well, I never.
My problem with Twin Peaks, like when you watch the pilot episode of Twin Peaks.
So good.
But it's kind of boring at the beginning.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, this is okay. But as soon as Agent Cooper shows up, then you're like, oh, now we're talking. Like, this is a show. This is a show. But I feel the same way about Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me. Like when it's the beginning of the movie and it's all the agents and all that kind of weird stuff's happening, you're like, oh, this is some good stuff. I'm really enjoying this. And then when it goes back to Twin Peaks and it's just the...
it's a snorville.
It's a bore.
It's a snorville.
Like, so it misses the whole, like, what makes it great is the mystery, but the kind of...
They don't solve enough of the mystery to give you satisfaction.
Yeah, and it's just the straightness of his character thrown into this world, you know, that makes it interesting. The best episodes are the weirdest ones with weird things happening around him or with him, you know, like the opening episode of the second season where he's spoilers everybody. I don't want to spoil a show from the 1990s, but Cooper shot at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
And the opening show is just him laying on the ground, unable to move. Well, the guy comes into the room, the ancient, possibly Methuselan, bellhop, I guess, comes into the room and is like delivering him some milk or something.
Yeah,
and
I'm a guy who can describe a pulley system, so don't ask me to describe this guy.
But, gesturing away and making these kind of weird, and then, you know, Cooper can't move at all. And it's just a great, fantastic opening, you know, like, because it's just crazy and weird, but it has to have that, I guess it needs that protagonist, that person that is our connection to what we're seeing, you know.
And the person who has a sincere motivation, like the thing about Cooper is he's a good person.
Yeah.
He's a good person in a corrupt world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, so you feel, and he's also kind of blank enough that you can relate to him.
But he's also really good.
Yeah.
Like when Albert comes and, you know, and he's just, you know, he's mean, but he's a very good, does a great, this great, what's the word, autopsy, you know, the forensic.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. I don't know.
He's a coroner?
He's not a coroner.
Okay.
But he's like a...
CSI type?
I guess so.
I think you're right about autopsy.
But he does the autopsy, And he does it really efficiently, and then Cooper's really, you know, they're really snapping and all, you know, working on all cylinders and stuff like that, and you can see that they're really good at what they do. And so the kind of goofiness of some of the things that he does later, like the where they're throwing the knives or something, or they're trying to break bottles or something, trying to...
Okay.
You remember that scene? Or no, throwing rocks at bottles.
All right.
Do you remember that sequence?
Nope, but continue with your point.
But yeah, but just because you know that he's good, so you're like, well, this guy really is on the ball. So when he does kind of weird stuff every once in a while, you're like, well, this is okay because he's, you know, he's on the ball. It's just, you know, if it works or doesn't work, it's just a way for him to click, you know.
It's actually a nice thing to see in any TV show is competence.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the difference between, you know, when I used to watch CSI when it started.
Yeah.
Everyone was really good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And they expected everyone else around them to be good at their jobs. And then later on the much worse versions of the show,
mm-hmm.
Like on the early versions of the show, it's like, you know, this ladybug would pupate at blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, of course, because the summer months are this. Right, because it is. And they all jam, jam, jam.
Yeah.
Whereas in the new versions, the Miami, you know, the ladybug would pupate. And how do you know that? Because you're a nerd for knowing that. And I'm going to make fun of you for being good at your job, says your boss at your job. Yeah, boo. By the way, a siren is going by. Mm-hmm. As always, please guess. Is it an ambulance? Is it a fire truck or a police car? What would you say, Dave?
Well, it's going away, so we're not going to see exactly what it is, but I'm going to guess an ambulance.
It was an ambulance.
Okay. You saw it?
Yes. I saw it. It went right by.
Oh, farther away, back like a couple of blocks away?
Nope. It was right behind you.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, I missed
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
So if you guessed that right, please enjoy half of a birthday cake.
We're really upping the odds on this. Yep. It's an eating game now.
But this is something that they do on TV shows where they find someone being sarcastic and insulting to another person.
Yeah.
I think, oh, that's an entertaining thing. It's not. Competence is more entertaining.
Yeah.
Make people really good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll
you
be...
You can have drama and comedy come out of that. That fits the character, that fits the situation. Even something like as goofy as Twin Peaks could be, you know, it still worked because you had that grounded character that was good at his job, who was moving towards a solution to the murder, you know.
And yet
it should never have been solved.
Well, or it's got, you know, yeah, you got to open it up and say what you were looking for wasn't really what you were looking for. Okay. You can pull one of those.
Sure, sure.
You can do it. There's ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. They did not know what they were doing. And the second season was just everyone skating on the ice, not knowing how to skate, flopping around. And then the last episode was pretty great.
Well, what I read...
it just went crazy banana nuts.
What I read was that David Lynch kind of got distracted with his own projects and didn't spend much time on Twin Peaks in the second season.
Well, that's when he became David Lynch.
Like, you're right.
David Lynch was a thing.
His hair grew about 5 inches.
That's right.
Yeah.
He became, it was like, oh, mm-hmm. well. And then we all were that for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we stopped being that. And then he could get good again.
Well, yeah. So you think like...
It's like Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
When you're given all the attention and going, oh, Mr. Tarantino, what have you got next, sir? That's all right, sir, I guess. That was fine.
What was his all right period?
That's fine.
I think every film he's done has been pretty great.
It's fine. Yeah.
Which one? What do you give
all
him?
All right, we go into Jackie Brown, which is all right.
You think Jackie Brown is just, it's fine? I think it's a pretty great film.
It's pretty.
Admittedly, I haven't
watched it
once.
It's great, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Okay, I'm going to go mainly when I'm saying Quentin Tarantino. I'm probably talking about all of his TV appearances on stuff.
In Four Rooms or something like that?
Something maybe. And he's getting a lot of acting work and he's in Mr. Destiny.
From Dawn Till Dusk.
Destiny Turns on the Radio, whatever the hell it was. There's two movies. There was one, Mr. Destiny, that I think was a Jim Belushi one, and there was Destiny Turned on the Radio. Both were shit. Both were shit. And also his appearances on like American Girl. Which was the Margaret Cho sitcom because he was dating her at the time.
Mm.
And he'd just show up on sitcom after sitcom and be like, it's Quentin Tarantino! And he'd be very Quentin Tarantino. And you'd be like, that's good. Yeah, his films are fine. The
persona kind of...
Persona, non-wanta, arounda, that's enough. Find a... Listen, I have a hard time finding clothes that fit.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be getting on my high horse about that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, you're rich. Find a fucking shirt that fits. He's just swimming in these things. And it just looks like he combed his hair with a nightmare. It's just like, come on, guy. It's just, come on. Come on, settle down. You don't want it to look like that, right? This wasn't a goal. Come on. You're friends with Eli Roth. Look how together that guy is. And he's got a monster brain.
Yes.
Come on.
I think he likes to hide his insides from his outside.
Could very well be.
But, From Dawn Till Dusk is pretty awful, too. That's true enough. That is one stinkeroo of a movie.
Yeah, though actually, in that case, I actually liked the beginning parts with the brothers more than I liked when it all went to Cracker's Town.
I found that it was a little too melodramatic, but I did enjoy George Clooney, right? It's in that film? I enjoyed his character. What disappointed me about that film was, they end up in this kind of weird bar, and it turns out it's full of vampires. And then they fight the vampires, and they're basically in a room. There's two rooms.
Yep.
They're in the main room, and then they go hide in another room.
Right.
And then the movie ends, and then it pulls back, and it reveals this ancient Incan temple.
Yep.
Or Mayan temple. I guess it'd be Mayan, whatever.
Yep.
Toltec temple behind
yours,
the...
Yours, Mayan, and ours, yeah.
Behind the this bar, and you're like, why didn't they go into the temple? Because that would have been pretty interesting, wouldn't it, if they would... Left a room and maybe went somewhere else?
Now I'm curious because it became a TV show, which I watched the first episode and went, too mean. I'm not into it. And also, I did watch a couple of the sequels.
I watched the second one.
Yeah. They never
went
into...
But it had nothing to do with the... Yeah,
it was happening over there instead of there.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to go in some of those other rooms because clearly there would be, wouldn't there?
Well, when you end your movie with a pullback and it shows you, but it's actually a giant temple.
Right. You're like, and as we know from Aliens versus Predator, there's aliens in that basement too. So you should like get those aliens out. Now the aliens are fighting the vampires.
Were they in a Toltec temple?
They were in some sort of like Mayan style temple in the movie Alien versus Predator.
Okay.
Aliens versus, it wouldn't be fair if there's only one alien versus predators. And yeah, they open it up and the aliens are there and they've been on Earth the whole time. Fuck off. Then they're not aliens, are they? They're Terrans. They're here. They're hanging out. Forget it. What a terrible idea that was.
Oh, yes.
Boo.
When did you forget the idea of your movies? That's the question I asked those guys.
And equally disappointing, it's not like the idea of Aliens versus Predator hadn't been done in the comics to death with a bunch of interesting plots.
Mm.
You know, find one. Do that. Not this. Boo. Oh, Alien.
We have gone so far off. We've gone so far off a path that's kind of fun, and I'm really enjoying this.
Okay. I've got some bring down stuff like later that's like something actually made me legitimately like fuck off today.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get into that. Why don't I get into that and then we can like pull back up.
Yeah. There. Let's mid show.
Right.
The mid show downer, as I like to call it.
Right.
Let's get on.
And
that.
This is actually a real mid show downer. It's not as in something personally happened to me, but it was something I saw that was like fuck off.
Okay.
And maybe tell me that I'm wrong about being angry about this.
Okay.
But this is legit.
That sounds like my place.
It's gonna take a turn. All right, so here's the thing. So Pia and I, my wife Pia and I, we went to a meeting just down the street from Hell Kitty Studios today. Meeting went nice. We come out and we see like there's a little corner store here that's like an antique shop.
Okay.
It's like a fun antique shop. And out the front, there's like Big Jim's Cruiser. And it's like, that was a doll that I had when I was a kid. And he was this muscly guy.
Big Jim, the one with the metal band?
Yeah, metal band on his muscle. He would flex his muscle and just bang! Like the metal thing would go. And there's Barbie. And it was
that was a great kid's doll.
Pretty great. And then you go in and there's like a whole bunch of kitschy Pepsi signs.
Can I just say one thing about the Big Jim? I had a swamp boat. I had a Big Jim doll and I had like a swamp, you know, those big boats with a big giant propeller on the back of it?
Brother, they had one there.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Man.
Just down the street.
Mm.
But you might not want to shop there when I keep telling this story.
Okay. So
they got the kitschy Pepsi stuff.
Sure.
They got like a bunch of old comics. They're old Superman comics.
Yep.
Neat.
Yep.
This, that, and the other. Old projectors, old cameras. We're having a good time. Walk around. There's some bar stools. There's some something on the bar stools. Let's take a look at what's on the bar stools. And it's Holocaust memorabilia. It's patches that people had in the death camps in the Holocaust.
That they made the bar stools out of?
No. That they were just resting on the bar stools.
Okay.
They were lying on there. So there was one, like a Jewish one. There was the star. There was a triangle. There was a couple others there. There's like about five of them. And they were just kind of lying there.
Yeah.
On the bar stool.
Yeah.
Like, it's this and that and the other thing.
Sure.
It's in the basement kind of feeling. And then it's that. And they're selling these. And yeah, Pia goes, are these real? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're real. But if you should talk to, you know, the other guy if you're interested in those. And I was like, I'm not wanting to talk to the other guy if I'm interested in those. I'm like, can you sell those? And then it's like, should you sell those?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think you should sell those. It's like, these should be in a museum. They should not be with kitschy memorabilia and this. And I've seen like people selling Nazi memorabilia. People do sell Nazi flags and they sell the pins and they sell.
Yeah.
And that I'm not great with, but I can sort of see it.
Mm.
But this, fuck off with this. So I go online. I'm like, is this legal? And there was, apparently you can't sell this kind of memorabilia on eBay.
Okay.
They won't let you do it there.
Yeah.
There was an article about a guy in Vancouver who was selling this kind of stuff and people got mad at him for doing so.
Same guy maybe?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. There was no real connection there. And then there was an article in the Daily Mail about how there are some places in Europe where it's illegal to sell this memorabilia and some places that it's not.
Yeah.
I believe in England it's not. I think like France it is and so on and so forth. But it was just like that it was so casually like there.
Just there.
You know, just like turned me completely and like really kind of darkened the, you know, things there. And I was like, what the fuck was that? So am I right to be about that?
Yeah.
Or am I good? Okay. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's seems in terrible taste. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems in terrible taste.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not illegal, it certainly seems, you know, immoral, or maybe not immoral, but it just seems
I would say immoral, even more than unethical. Ethical would be, you know, is a different situation.
Maybe it's immoral.
Morality is something more internal than ethical is a set of rules that society lays down that you follow. But morality, I think, is something internal that you feel, is this right?
Yeah.
Not is legally, is this right?
Yeah, yeah.
But is this right? And to me, it felt like, well, this isn't right. These should be someplace, again, a museum, a Holocaust museum, someplace where, you know, it's people can remember that this happened, but they shouldn't be. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? You're going to put it on your mantle? You're going to put it on a shelf? You're going to put it in a box?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with it? What's the place that it's got in your house, you know, for this, you know, and that people are profiting on it? Yeah, it just feels like shitty.
Yeah, it's weird. I was reading, why was I reading this? I was reading about Nazi porn, popular where they're, you know, it's just role playing with the victim as a, I guess a camp.
Yeah.
Camp, whatever the word would be, a prisoner, obviously, a prisoner of war, or a prisoner of death camps, being tortured by a Nazi.
Right.
And whether it's a woman torturing a man or a man torturing a woman. But 95% of this is made in Israel.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's bought by Israelis so that they can burn it.
Okay.
It seems like an odd industry to start. But I can see why, you know, because so much about porn is about just like things that are, you know, there's a word, and I can't think of it now, but, you know, that are taboo.
It's really a shame that we've got Robin Bougie across the hall. He would know the word.
He would know. But it's not, well, I'm just trying to think of a word like for taboo, you know, like something that, you know, it's outside of the pale of social norms or social acceptable behavior. And so that's what makes it attractive to certain people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems, so you have people that actually enjoy it. And it's, you know, I guess it's like, you know, it's like incest porn that's become popular now. Like,
right.
You have stepfather and daughter.
Or rape porn or anything.
Stuff like that. Yeah, there's all terrible sort of things. And, isn't that
terrible,
the worst?
Terrible in real life.
Yeah.
And then fictionalized, it becomes
in a weird way.
This thing. Yeah.
For sure. And, it just seems odd. But then it seems like even odder that it becomes this weird sort of self-fulfilling, or, you know, this self propelling thing where, you know, people who hate it are buying it so that they can destroy it.
But I think there's a connection between, you know, the thing that you're attracted to and loathing the thing that you're attracted to. I'm sure there's a bunch of people who buy certain pornography, use it, and then go, ugh, I can't even have this around, and destroy it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Out of shame.
I'm sure that's
true. You know,
true.
I'm sure that happens constantly. I mean, now with computers, we've got the, you know, clear button, and all your sins are flushed away, so we will ne'er have to see what this is. But, you know, I think there definitely are people who, you know, will whatever is reprehensible in the past or, you know, forbidden.
Yeah.
Will definitely come. And that doesn't surprise me that, you know, where things are most popular, they're also the most loathed and want to be destroyed.
There was a weird. It was popular very briefly on the internet. There was like a newscast, like the three newscasters talking during the news show, and the one brings up being sent porn. And watching it and then realizing that it's incest porn and how uncomfortable that makes him. Everyone's like, what? Why are you talking about this during a newscast, Fred? Why? Right. And then he's like, instead of like going, oh, I should have brought that up. He continues to dig himself a hole. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you get sent porn and you're watching it.
I mean, I just saw it and it said, oh, brother, where art thou? And then I got really into it and went like, this is not a Coen movie.
It just seemed odd. It was strange.
Wait, neither is Sister Act. Wait a second. Neither. And so on.
That's good.
I was going to say the movie Cousins, then I realized that is actually an incest comedy.
Yeah, I guess
with Ted Danson.
Cousin or Cousin Cousine, the French one, right?
The French one, and then it was made into Cousins,
which we could,
in North America, and
which we could all see at 11 o'clock on Channel 13
and then
on Saturday night.
That's right, and everyone's favorite incest comedy, Back to the Future.
Is that an incest comedy?
I would say so. Most of the jokes are Mom wants to have sex with Michael J. Fox, and he's like, No, thank you. You know, you're like, oh, okay, I got to hook my dad up with my mom. Otherwise, she's going to want to, you know, make love to me. And that's the basis of that family comedy that we all enjoy so much. And they make a Saturday morning cartoon out of. because that was the era that it was. And yet still, much better to watch than Teen Wolf.
Mm.
Much.
The
most homophobic werewolf comedy of the 80s you're going to find. When you're talking about underrated 80s comedies, Teen Wolf is not one of them.
Is not one of them?
No, that is an overrated 80s comedy.
You know what?
Comedy.
I think all 80s comedies are overrated.
I'm going to sit. Okay, now we're getting off. Are we going to get off incestuous Nazi porn? Let me say, when you were talking about underrated.
Are you sure you want to? Are you sure you want to step off this subject?
What have you? Underrated 80s movies. Boy, we do transition very sharply in this show. But when you mentioned that, I was thinking of one because you mentioned the Roddy Piper, who was not in many movies after that.
Yeah.
Here's a movie that the guy really didn't do anything after that in movies, but was good in this one. Buster, Phil Collins. I liked that film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of he's that kind of guy, and you're like, oh, here comes Phil Collins. He's going to be in a lot of these roles that Bob Hoskins says no to.
He was in that. He was in Buster. Then he was in one like where he was a criminal, right? Or is that Buster?
I think that's Buster. Yeah.
And then he was in Against All Odds.
Was he? A cameo, if.
No,
was
no, isn't he like rolling around in the sand with the girl and the music's playing?
I think that's a rock video.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Are you counting his music videos as acting?
I am.
Okay.
I have to admit. Yeah. Phil Collins.
Something in the Air Tonight.
Ugh.
Oh, Lord.
The Gated Snare.
His daughter lives in Vancouver. Let's bring her in now. Have her talk.
Sweet.
If you're not...
He lives in Switzerland.
I'm gonna throw another topic into the mix if I can.
Okay.
This one less bummer. I want to get that out of my system because that just like
It's terrible.
Physically ill. You know that they were doing that. It's gross. I didn't know what to do with it. And
well,
so,
you're having a physical reaction to the actual sight of these things that.
All of a sudden you're brought
the history behind them
is
so horrifying.
You're from kitschy. Oh, the past.
Yeah.
To oh Jesus, and also. Things that happened about the same time.
Mm.
Oh, that adorable Coke sign. Ah, yeah, the four. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's that. Anyway. But speaking of the past that is not horrific.
Okay.
First of all, happy birthday to David M. Just had a birthday.
Former friend of the show, David M.
That's right. I was reminded of him because he's been posting some things about when his band No Fun was doing Expo, was approached to Expo.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And we just had the anniversary of Expo.
Oh.
I think it was, is it 40 years now? 30 years? 30
I
years.
I think 30 years, yes.
No, it could be 40.
No, it's 30. 86.
36. Okay, thank God. Okay. It's scary when it starts floating by like that. And so.
Remember those days we were indestructible. Nothing could stop us. We're ready for the world to run us over.
I feel weaker then than I do now. That's fair.
Okay.
But yeah, I
had a good job during Expo 86.
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit about Expo 86. Dave, let's flash back to Expo 86, and because we're talking about the past, this is a time you can take a drink.
Yeah.
Why not drink a drink that was popular back then?
Jolt Cola.
Jolt Cola. All the sugar, twice the caffeine.
None of the flavor.
Fuck health. It's the 80s.
Remember how outraged people were by this?
We're amazed that there's no cocaine in this thing.
Guys have some Jolt Cola and some Pop Rocks.
That's right.
Not
and
at the same time.
Shoot it right in your veins.
Not at the same time, because your stomach will explode.
Yep.
We know that's a fact.
Absolutely.
Scientifically proven.
So it was the World Expo. I had four jobs in it. My four jobs were, I was two robots. I was Expo Ernie, who was the mascot. I was
mascot
one of eight Expo
what,
Ernies.
What? For this exposition,
yep.
Telling us how great British Columbia is, how great Vancouver is,
right.
We are no longer a village, as once called by Jim McKay during the Soccer Bowl when New York played the Vancouver Whitecaps. Sorry, I can't remember what New York was called, but anyway. And Vancouver won.
There the Apple Bobbers. The New York Apple Bobbers.
New York Apple Bobbers. Much. And Jim McKay said, they're celebrating tonight in the village of Vancouver. Oh, were people mad? People were so mad.
Well, we didn't want to be village
and
people.
And we said, we are not going to be a village anymore. We are going to become an international city, and we are going to have an expo to prove it. And what, out of all the classic mythology, the legends of Vancouver and British Columbia, did we choose as our expo mascot? What did he look like? What was he?
He was a little chubby robot with a British accent.
That looked like an astronaut.
That looked like an astronaut, because we're famous
for our astronauts.
Astronauts.
Our British heritage.
Robots. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to run quickly through the four jobs I had. Then we can go through and we can get to your jobs as well. And things will occur.
All right.
So the four jobs I had, one, I was a robot that was the mascot of the thing. There's eight other of us. My next job was I did a play, and that play was about a punk rocker who hides in a chest, and there's an old man who's a grumpy man, and he finds me in there because I'm hiding, and we teach each other about life through music. Okay,
what was
we
that
find
called?
Out
what was that play
it
called?
It was called Bubble Memory.
Why was it called Bubble Memory?
There is actually something psychological. It's a term for something.
Oh, okay.
And I got the job. I think I replaced, if I'm remembering correctly, like Colin Mockery.
Oh.
Who might have, he might have played the older guy, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But they did it once before. It was a huge failure. Could not have been a bigger failure. And then we did it, and it was a bigger failure.
Yeah.
Then I did a thing called Comedy College, where I did stand-up in a competitive environment.
That.
It was a nightmare. Holy shit, bad. Then then I was a robotic bear.
Yeah.
Georgie GM, the safety bear for General Motors.
Georgie GM.
Yeah.
Easy to say.
One of many safety bears working.
Yeah.
There was another safety bear the RCMP had.
Okay, yeah.
Bears and safety go together.
You want kids to – if you want to teach kids one thing about safety,
right.
It's bears.
It's a nightmare.
Safe bears are.
That's right. So first job was, Expo Ernie. Mm-hmm. And as you say, he had a British accent.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think he had a British accent is because – at some point, this is the only thing I can think that's possible, because there's no reason we don't have British accents here.
No, we
like,
don't.
It's honestly, it's like, could you imagine any other country that would have a fucking mascot that had a different accent than them?
Yeah.
Like, if England had an Australian mascot, you'd be like, aye, mate. Like, what would that be? Why? How would, they would just go, what the fuck? But we were, hello. It's like, what's this about? And so my theory is that they went, you know what people love is Star Wars. Have one of the robots like Star Wars.
Okay.
And they went, okay. So they made him look a bit like R2-D2.
Yeah.
And then they made him sound like C-3PO.
Yeah.
Not realizing C-3PO isn't robot voice. Mm. C-3PO is British voice. And so, and legally, I can't do Expo Ernie's voice, but I can do C-3PO doing an impression of Expo Ernie, which happens to be the exact same fucking voice.
Yeah.
Which is, hello, David. Welcome to Expo. How are you? Nice to see you here. Are you having a lovely time here at Expo? I'm Canadian. I'm a Canadian fucking robot. Oh, my God.
We aren't a village. I don't care what you say.
Oh, my gosh. Just the worst.
Cheerio, chap.
And I got fired because there was three BC pavilions.
Mm.
I went to the wrong one.
Okay.
And so I was late getting to the other one. They went, this isn't the right one.
Yeah.
And I got fired like day two.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was after a month of training. Where we had to break down the robot, build it up.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So what were you doing during Expo?
Well, let me just go on with your...
do go on.
Do go on. Comedy College. Now, Comedy College... For those who weren't there, and I was there.
Not spelled with a K.
Not spelled with a K.
That came later in the 80s, where everything was comedy with a K.
So the idea of that show was there was three comedians.
Right.
And there was no college. There was no learning about comedy. You came out on stage.
Wait a second.
You did your act.
Did you not notice the host wore one of those graduation caps?
Host of the show, Ryan Stiles.
No.
Wasn't Ryan Stiles?
No, it was not Ryan Stiles.
Who was it?
It was...
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
When they later did it for television, Ryan Stiles
did it. Red-green, but it was the guy who was on the Red-green show.
Phil Savitt.
No.
Oh, are you talking Pat McKenna?
Yeah, wasn't it Pat McKenna who did it?
It could have been.
Unless he was one of the comedians that was there.
I think he was one of the comedians. Okay, I think it was...
There was Dave Cameron.
I think
it was
Phil Savitt.
Okay.
Who was the producer of a show called Switchback that I was working on and later did like a couple of films, The Three Wishes of Billy Green. No, that's wrong. The Outside Wish of Maximilian Glick and some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside Chance of Maximilian Glick later became a TV show called Max Glick. But yeah, they had the idea and basically what happened is you do...
Later became a TV show, Max Glick Room.
Sure. You would do stand-up, and then the audience would vote whether you went into the funny, the weird, or the groan zone.
Yeah, the groan zone. Now,
only the funny zone would be the one that could win at the end, and they'd have a vote-off, because weird comedy, go fuck yourself.
So you were pretty new to comedy at that time. You had basically kind of just started.
Maybe like about a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was clearly a weird comic.
And a lot of your humor was based around things you knew. So, like, kind of video game Jokes about video games.
Video games, cartoons.
And then, movies.
And also, but here's the other thing that I would do a lot was when I was at Punchlines, the local stand-up club.
Everybody siren again?
Yeah. There you go. I would do things to get the whole room involved.
Okay.
So I do things like, I'd come out and go like, look, folks, this is a little depressing for me. It's my birthday and I'm here and I want to be.
Sure.
So if you could, when I come out, could you just yell surprise?
Yeah.
I'd really appreciate it. And listen, if it's too much, not too much to ask, could you all hide? If you just hide and then I come out and like, I can still see you.
Yeah.
If you could just duck your heads down and a comedy club where people are drunk.
Yeah.
They're all on board. Or I'd go like, I'd like to, you know, I'd put on my 3D glasses and like, let's just recreate a scene in 3D.
Sure.
Or I'd do something where another comic had forgot his lunch and we trade lunches or something that would be just stupid, and it works in a comedy club.
Yeah.
But does it work at a fair? Oh, Christ, no. Continue with your story.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I went with you to your audition. So there's three guys in the room.
That's right.
Three older gentlemen.
Yeah, Jeff Groberman, Phil Savath, and one other person, yeah.
And they busted a gut. at your stuff.
Yep.
You did your bit for them.
Yep.
I have never seen people laugh so hard in my life as those three gentlemen did. They were killing themselves. It was great. Then you did the show. And to be fair, you did the show. It was basically a fully lit cafeteria.
Right. It's basically on a like stage. This. It was like I showed three gay gentlemen erotic gay pornography.
Yes.
And they all went, we're all on board with this.
Yes, that's right.
Then I took it to the county fair. And in the middle of the pie eating contest, I said, ladies, put your pies away and sit down. I've got something to show you.
Yes. That was about the reaction that that they got. Then, then you got fired by the same three guys, right? Basically, that's what happened.
Now, here's how
oh, you don't like the word fired. Okay.
I got fired this way. I come off the stage.
Yeah.
First of all, I get put either in the weird or the groan zone all the time.
Yeah,
did like four shows, and it's, the audience is stunned. I brought my parents to one. Terrible. What a nightmare. Again, this stuff works somewhere else, but not here.
Yeah.
So I go backstage, and I say to the guy, look, I understand this isn't working out.
Mm.
It's fine. It's like, no, man, you're hilarious. I'm standing behind you. You know. We're gonna do this.
They're gonna.
Yeah,
I was there for this.
Yeah, that's right. Don't worry about it. I'm behind you.
Yeah.
Okay. Go home. Message on machine. Yeah, we're gonna let you go.
Yeah, it was great.
This ain't working out. To the point where today, like about I'd say 7 months ago, I friended that guy on like Twitter or something, and he went, "Are you still mad at me? Is it still a thing? Are you up to get me? I'm still scared of you." I'm like, what? I've never. It's just a. It's fine. I'm okay. I'm beyond it.
It was. Yeah, it was something else.
Yeah.
My job was so much less than yours. Like, I am embarrassed to say what I did because I was just a mere, instead of being an entertainer, instead of, you know, running a robot into people's legs while speaking in it with a British accent.
Well, let me just say, your job, you got as many laughs as I did on that stage, you know, probably more so working at your job. Not trying to get laughs.
I don't know if I got laughs, but I worked in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I got the job just totally accidentally. It was actually a friend who was applying for the job. And I went with her, and I was sitting in the office, and I didn't even think about this until I was there. And then I was like, oh, well, since I'm here, I might as well apply. I am supposed to be looking for a job, so maybe I should apply here.
Mm-hmm.
That's an idea. And so I filled out the form and handed it in. And then a little while later, I kind of had almost forgot about it. I probably had forgot about it. And I was at my mom's office using her IBM Selectric Speedball typewriter.
Okay.
The best typewriter you could use.
That's right. Type also, out. You know, it's and the only typewriter that's named after a drug.
Yes. And yeah. Which came first? Chicken and egg. I was typing out my essay that night, which was due that night, obviously, because that's why when I would do it was the
that's
day,
why you need
time it was due. So what I didn't drive. So what happened is my mom would drive me to her work. Then she'd drive home.
Right. You'd have type to dress the essay. Up as your mom.
I have to wear a wig, wear a dress.
A real Mrs. Doubtfire situation.
I looked a little bit like her.
Yep.
Except she's 5'4 and I'm 6'2. But other than that.
Hello, Mr. Harrison. Just doing some typing.
Immediately put on a joisy accent, make it more convincing that I was a secretary.
Tappity tap, tap, tap.
I would type it out, and then I'd call her and say, oh, I'm done now, Mom. And she would drive back, pick me up, drive me to the school so I could put it in the teachers. She didn't do that once or twice. She did it many times. But anyway, so I'm typing away. And then I get this phone call, so I answer it because I don't know why. It was my
right,
mom's phone.
Dave right now is anyway, answering it with that phone call thing where you take your fingers and you're doing kind of hang loose.
But that's what it was like.
It was like back then. I'm using a cell phone nowadays where I'm using the flat of my hand.
Yeah. Like now people use, it looks like you're masturbating if you do that. You just still do the thing. You still make the banana. So I answer the phone. Hello. And then it's my mom.
Banana
and she's
phone.
Like, she's like, you just got a call from blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I've given you I've given them this number. They're going to call you. Take the job. That's exactly what she said. So I'm like, okay. So I hung up. They phoned. I said, okay. So I went down. I started working this job with this company who basically they were contracted to run all the parking lot, all the parking areas around the expo at that time. Those parking lots, long gone. Like, it's impossible to even imagine. At one time, there was all this vacant space in Vancouver where you could have parking lots.
Now you're like, now you're the guy, the older guy, who's like walking around going, you know, this used to be a parking lot.
I am.
As far as the eye could see, we had a soda machine right there that you could get a nice crystal Pepsi out of.
Well, in those days, it was all warehouse space and stuff in that area.
Now it's cool.
Now it's all skyscrapers full of condos, empty condos, but all full of condos.
Yep.
So I would get, I worked the evening shift. So I would get there around 3 and, it would be full. The lot would be full. So then they would just like get out my book, pull a chair outside, sit in the shade and just read until a few cars left. Then I would turn the sign around, let a few customers in, turn the sign back around. I'd say it's full. And that was my day. And you would visit.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. And I would reach up inside the pop machine.
Right.
And pull out a pop for you. Give you a pop, free pop. There you go. Can't say no to that. Right.
Right.
To possible arm mangling.
Right.
Shouldn't occur to me at the time because you're 20-ish or whatever I was, 19.
Yeah, not the ethics of like stealing soda pop, but you might get hurt. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
Good
like,
point.
It's like downloading.
Ethics versus morality.
It's like downloading.
It's like down, literally,
illegal downloading.
It is like loading.
It's like illegal downloading, yeah. It was just physically illegally downloading a pop.
Right.
You know? Out of the machine.
If the pop duplicated itself the second you took it down, and then it replaced itself with another pop, it would
did.
Be exactly like illegal downloading.
When you pulled it out, you could hear another one clunk into its place.
Right. Yeah. And so it's
exactly
the same amount of pops
same thing.
Remain. Yes.
Exactly
okay. It makes sense.
Exactly the same. So, you know, and then, it was a great job for that, you know. And then when there were games for the local football team, the BC Lions, who in those days packed BC Place, which was a 60,000 seat stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can barely fill the lower bowl now, but in those days they packed the place. And
well, they can't anymore because they ran out of sodas and people are like so thirsty. Like, where are
close,
the sodas?
Close. They ran out of parking.
Yeah.
But and so they would, but my parking lot was reserved for the players and, get this, the cheerleaders.
Mm.
Nice. So yes, people would
that's what you said every time one of them walked
yes,
by.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. Because it's the 80s, and we can be jerks.
I wouldn't be that jerky. Not that jerky. But yeah, no, it was great. It was a good job, actually. I really liked it. I liked it so much I kept doing it for many years after. But
Well, you could do writing, you could do reading, you could, you know.
Yeah.
It's the kind of job for a person who likes to sit and think.
And if you want to wear the most embarrassing clothes that are invented, that's a perfect job for you. Like, I wore these blue pants that were apparently made of, like, nylons. They were, like, these stretch pants, navy blue stretch pants. And then, I'm kind of wearing one now, like a golf shirt, but it was yellow. And it had, like, BC Place Stadium on it.
Right.
And that was equally gross feeling. Like, it was just gross clothes that you wore.
Yeah.
Like, they could not feel any
nice
less
hot day.
Any less nice to wear. But soon as your shift was over, you'd add up your money. You know, it was easy because you only sold tickets at a certain price, let's say $5, and you had 60 tickets. And so it's 60 times 5, $120.
Right.
And you'd wrap that up, run as fast as you can back to your place inside the stadium.
Right.
Quickly change out of the most embarrassing clothes you've ever been in. You know, because like who left McDonald's wearing their McDonald's uniform? Nobody.
Ronald.
Besides Ronald, who is a special case because he's a clown, and that's okay to wear clown clothes around. I would zip out of that stuff as fast as I could and then run to the SkyTrain because the goal was to get on the SkyTrain before the fireworks ended and then all the major crowd started to crowd onto the train. So I would see the fireworks in the sky and I'd be running to the SkyTrain to get on it, to get out of town.
Did you have a pass to Expo at all?
My mom got me one. She bought all of us passes. And I have to admit, I only used mine twice. Once I went to see No Fun play And once I went to see Slow Play at Expo.
And that was the famous show.
That was a famous show where a former friend of the show, Stephen Hamm, pulled down his pants, revealing his nether region.
As written about in last week's West Ender.
Well, I remember him phoning another former guest of the show, Rob Rebsell. He phoned us that night and he was like, yeah, I'm getting out of town. Oh, the shit hit the fan, man. Oh, we are so much fucking trouble. Like, this is crazy. So, yeah, they left town.
Yeah.
Slowed.
Yeah, yeah. You don't show your wang at a festival.
You don't show off like that and not leave town. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very similar call that I gave you after I got fired from comedy college.
Yeah, leaving town.
I got to blow town. I got to. What's that? Oh, a guy showed his dick. They've forgotten about me. I'm in the clear now because he showed his cock. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. That's good. Well, everything's fine. Then. Yeah. No one remembers me.
It seems weird now. It's like Expo was slightly different than when we had the Winter Olympics here. When we had the Winter Olympics, before the Winter Olympics, everyone was mad. Everyone was so mad about us having the Winter Olympics. It's not even in Vancouver. It's actually in Whistler. And blah, blah.
We're not going to have any snow.
We're not going to have any snow.
That was like a fear. It was like, we're not going to have winter at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
We're going to look like assholes.
That, and just the cost of it and the fact that if they weren't spending millions of dollars on the Olympics, they would be spending millions of dollars on poor people. Like, that's how government
works.
That's
how it always works.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's always a...
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, when you think... when the government's not spending millions of dollars on one thing, they're not throwing it at the poor. That's not how it works.
This is also... And I don't know if I mentioned this before. Did I mention the Janine Garofalo Kickstarter thing last week?
No.
Okay, so I'm listening to a podcast with Janine Garofalo.
This is funny how it works into our... When did Janine Garofalo lose her sense of humor? But okay.
Yeah. And she was talking about how she didn't like... she's embarrassed by Kickstarter.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's like... Yeah, because, you know, there's you know, people coming from Syria who need money, and this guy's asking for money to make a film. It's like, well, they're unrelated.
They're unrelated. Yeah, yeah.
Kickstarter isn't a charity.
Maybe the guy from Syria would like to see the film.
Maybe he'd like to see the film. Maybe it's about a person from Syria.
Sure.
You know, it's like, no, it's just embarrassing, and they shouldn't ask for money.
Film.
It's begging for
That's
money when other people need.
Film.
And, there you go. Well done. Yeah. Yahoo Syria, by the way, is one of the least funny comedians you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, it's like Kickstarter. It's like, do you want to be a patron of the arts?
Yeah.
And patrons of the arts, no one ever went, why don't you give money to charity instead, you jackass?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, fuckface.
Sure.
Hey, why are you giving money to the art gallery, you fucker? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's a different situation. But yeah, the whole thing is, if they were giving it to this, they wouldn't give it to this. But I think there was also a fear, and we were starting to realize it at the time, the real estate thing had not kicked in completely with the Winter Olympics.
Oh,
we were
man,
like,
I knew
we do
doing.
Not want more people coming here
yeah.
and going, this place is great, and the rent goes... And then we go, ugh, and we're done.
Yeah.
And I think people also remembered with Expo, how Expo started with a lot of people getting kicked out of their homes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like getting the bums rush.
Well, that was the beginning, because it was the same thing that happened during the Olympics, is that the local kind of more down market residences kicked out their people who live there, kicked out the residents in order to make room for Olympic guests. The thing is that people are coming for the Olympics don't want to stay in a... flop house.
Yep.
Like, this is not where you want to go. You don't want to go to a place that smells like disinfectant and urine. That's not your dream place
right.
to live.
And you really should use more disinfectant because I can still smell the urine.
Well,
or use more urine to really drown out that
disinfectant. Because they're
either
both,
way.
They're both terrible smells.
Yeah. One or the other, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick a lane.
The terrible smell of fresh paint, disinfectant, and that slight hint of seediness that exists underneath it.
Yeah.
Blech. But, and if you went to the Hotel Patricia... when it used to have shows, then you know that smell very well.
I do not, but I know it from other places.
Yeah. You don't want to know it. There was a lot of fuss. But unlike the Olympics, when the Olympics actually started, everyone got super excited. It was like, whoa, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much fun this is. Expo never seemed to have that. Like, anyone who was against it when it started, and I was kind of against it when it started, because I was a young...
Contrarian.
Contrarian, yes, that's a good word. So when I never went, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't believe how great this is. Guys, the world has come to Vancouver. We are no longer a village. In your face, Jim fucking McKay. No, I just never, I was always like, yuck, this is stupid. Boo. Boo. Sucks. Hiss. Blah. But, you know, some people were performing that I knew, so I had to go see that.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's some good performances.
And luckily for No Fun, they performed before Slow.
Otherwise,
after
they
Slow,
would not have performed.
It was done.
Yeah.
the alternate thingy ended.
Yeah, there were some good performances. There was it was interesting. Like I'm glad we did something, and it was weird.
Mm.
And it was very weird. There was a lot of like little short films made, and a lot of interesting buskers, and people did come from around the world, and yeah, it felt like This is interesting. I wonder if it'll be a turning point, much like Expo 67 was in Montreal.
Yeah.
But that was a real cultural turning point when, you know, France came over and went, Vive le Québec libre. And Quebec went, oh, yeah, France loves us. We should get all French. And, oh, boy. And then that mess started.
They didn't know.
But it really kicked off a cultural thing, I think, in Montreal that we thought it was going to happen here.
Mm.
And I think the after effect of the fair was not much.
Just a brief sidebar. We can come back to Expo, but Anthony Burgess, the author, who at this time was living in France, he was a judge or some sort of celebrant of the Cannes Film Festival, and there was a French Canadian film playing without subtitles because it's French.
Yeah,
and everyone, all the Frenchified people, started complaining that they couldn't understand what the Quebecois were saying. They couldn't understand the Quebecois, and they're all mad and stuff like that. And so he, an English-speaking man who happened to be in France, he translated the film, like simultaneously translated the film for the French-speaking audience. He just said it was a slightly older version of French. That's all it was. Like,
yep.
Call me jets, people.
That is something when people from Quebec go to France, they don't realize, they think, it'll be just like, it's not. All of a sudden, you know, look, they think everyone's a hick.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think because you're speaking French,
yeah,
they're on board with you. Yeah. No, you're just a French speaking hick.
Yeah,
well, I'm like an English speaking hick.
It's like an American going to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah. So yeah, but I think the cultural impact of Expo 67 much greater than the cultural impact of Expo 86 here. Just briefly go through the other two dumb jobs I had.
Yeah.
One, again, I was doing this show where it was a musical.
Yeah.
So
you sang during it.
I sang during it.
Did you sing punk rock songs?
I sang punk rock songs.
Songs that people would think who are writing a musical.
That's
what they think would be
exactly
a punk rock song.
What you think they are. That's what they were. Did I play guitar in this?
Yes.
Yes, I did, sir.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
I never saw this.
Did I do elaborate dance numbers? Sir, yes, I did. Now, you might ask, where's a good place to watch a show like that?
Mm. Where's a good place to watch a show like that?
Anywhere that's indoors, which is not where we were. We were outdoors.
Okay.
And what would happen? And we were next door. We were like a Canada Place.
Sure.
And so we were next door to a naval ship.
Ah.
And you could, and the naval ship wasn't totally connected with Expo.
Mm.
So, but they'd be doing like maneuvers. Same thing. Naval. And so they'd be doing all their things. So we'd be doing our show and be interrupted by naval.
Yeah.
We sometimes, in the middle of our show, would have people walk across the stage, not knowing we were doing a show, thinking us. And I was elaborately dressed as a punk rocker, and the old man was elaborately dressed as an old man. These are just two people having a conversation where he occasionally sings. So they walk up to us, and they would ask directions or talk to us like things are just happening. So that would happen. Okay.
That's great.
Now, a couple of major problems.
So good. Yeah.
What do you think is one of the most important things to have when you're doing a musical? You're doing a musical. What do you need?
Okay,
I'm
just going to say music.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the problem because our musician was an alcoholic who showed up to 2/3 of the shows.
Did he play the piano for the show?
Okay. Yeah, he was a keyboardist.
Okay.
And so we did our songs.
Yes.
Sans music. Okay, so that's good.
I saw this. How
also,
did I miss it?
There's one elaborate musical dance thing that we do where it ends with me doing a big knee slide towards the audience.
Yeah.
Big rock and roll with my guitar, knee slide towards the audience.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Yeah.
Everyone enjoys a knee slide.
Sure. How about on cement?
You know, it's nice because I'm not a great dancer.
Yeah.
So, but I can knee slide.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Sure.
Well, the safety council comes in and unbeknownst to us, it goes, this is not a safe stage.
Okay.
People could slip. Okay. We're going to lay some rubber down on this. Well, we didn't know that. So here comes the knee slide. And the slide, you don't keep sliding. You stop, but your body keeps going. Kabam! Just smashed into the stage so fucking hard.
That's so good.
Seeing stars, tasting iron, staggering back up. Oh, the worst.
I was silently laughing there, everyone. That's how much I was laughing. I went into
Dave, we play to audiences.
Yeah.
in the high threes. Okay? There was like sometimes there'd be like six people in that audience.
Yes.
And sometimes there would just be one guy in a wheelchair who then in the middle of the show would go, I'd like to leave now. And then slowly get wheeled off. Now, you might also ask, Dave, what does everybody love? Everybody loves a...
Raymond?
Well, everyone loves Raymond, yeah. But also everyone loves a parade. Well, Dave, let me tell you, we'd have parades. Oh. And the parade would go right next to our show. And it was a military parade. So we'd be doing our thing about, listen, man, I was beaten as a kid, and I know what... So we have to stand respectfully as the parade goes, and there's like 3 feet from us walking.
Were you respectful or did you slouch like a punk rock?
No, you had to stand because it's our men in uniform, and it's like elderly men in uniform that serve their country. I'm next to the fake man.
Was it a bagpipe parade? This is
there was bagpipes.
This explains why you don't like bagpipes.
There you go. So they go by and they bagpipe. The guy I worked with, the old man. He would tell me stories about when he went to prison.
Yeah.
He would tell me what type of things would happen to a fellow like me in prison. That was the other nice bit. Ooh. There, yeah. He worked actually doing improv.
Okay.
But kind of got kicked out of doing improv.
Sure.
And so was working now at the local strip club as
still doing improv.
No. He was known there as Dr. Smut. And what Dr. Smut would do, by the way, kids show that I'm in with him.
Yeah.
Dr. Smut would, so the strippers are doing the thing, and then he'd go, it's time for Dr. Smut! And Dr. Smut would come up. Did I mention he's a big fat guy? So Dr. Smut comes up, goes up, and then the women go up, and they kind of slide down his belly.
Ew.
And that's what doctors, I don't think he was a real doctor, to be quite frank.
You know what? I hope he was.
Okay. So anyway, that was my job on that, and the show went out of business when they realized there was no audience and no musician and we couldn't dance. That's, and Dr. Smut was doing the thing.
They'd use Dr. Smut when the Polish guy wasn't there, when the outrageous Polish guy wasn't there, the brash Pole.
And long story short, we can get into more of this the next time or another time. But
why?
With Georgie GM the safety bear.
Yes. Let's talk about Georgia.
Georgie GM the safety
bear. Oh man, that's hard to say. Georgie GM
is on your mind.
The safety bear.
Georgie. Oh, sweet Georgie. So this was okay.
Yeah.
Again, this is way too big a story for past the hour point. But it was a safety bear. So GM was trying to promote that they're the safe car company.
Safe car company, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you went upstairs, you would see by the way, speaking of safety, here comes another siren.
Yeah.
Place your bets.
Actually, sounds like I'm going to guess before we... Oh, it already went.
And we do not get to see. It was a gentleman on a bicycle. Did anyone guess gentleman on a bicycle? Okay.
If you did, take two drinks.
If you went upstairs, you would see a First Nation show.
Eat half a birthday cake.
With holograms. That was amazing. Amazing First Nation show. Beautiful holograms.
Yeah.
Everything you associate with General Motors.
yes.
Downstairs, it's a bear on a bicycle. Because, once again, GM is known for its bicycles. And its bears. So the safety bear would go around like, hi, everybody. I'm George G. I'm the safety bear. How you doing? And by the way, much like Expo Ernie, I'm standing maybe 10, 15 feet away, hiding behind something with a microphone and the remote control for the animal or robot.
Wearing a trench coat.
No, wearing a fucking tie and really nice clothes because GM's got an image to maintain.
Okay.
I thought I was incognito and hiding. Yes, but you've still got an image to maintain while you're hiding.
Sure, of course.
Well, you can't dress the ninja in a fucking tuxedo. Otherwise, people are going to notice the ninja. But anyway, so people on a hot summer day notice the guy who's dressed to the nines, who then also happens to be controlling a robot. I'm like, there he is.
There he is.
It's him.
Dressed to thrill.
So this robot that both myself and my roommate, who previously to this, his main job was hosing down the blood from the walls when people would try to climb over the barbed wire fence. That is not fake. They had razor wire and people would try to climb over. And
they, that was a mistake.
Yeah, and they would protein spill and they'd horror show. Amazing that this... Okay, anyway. Yes,
another advertisement against over-drinking.
Yeah, and also razor wire. So...
I think it's an advertisement for razor wire. It was very effective.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that people had very bad judgment to try to climb it.
Possibly. But I also think, don't bring the razor wire. So the thing with the safety bear was it was not very safe. The bear would lose control. The remote control would be intercepted by radio signals.
Okay. Is that right?
And there was a lot of radio. So quite often.
So someone was on their walkie-talkie. Fred, how's it going over there?
No. What would happen would be LG73, the local radio station, would then cut
local
in.
Hit radio station, everyone.
And go through. But.
Playing while, Rock Lobster.
While it is doing that, it also is controlling the bear. And now it's going crazy and I can't get control.
It's dancing to Footloose.
The worst incident being one time, occasionally it would do this where the head would start to spin and would spin so much that it would fall off and be hanging from some wires and the kids would scream, which you would think is the worst thing that could happen.
Sure. Terrible.
Wrong. Ooh. The worst thing, and I've done a comic about this and it's actually the cover of the comic, was one time when it started to spin, overheat, and then the bear's head caught on fire. We lost control of said bear. Bear started burrowing towards the crowd with flaming Ghost Rider head, and we had to run and intercept it before something horrible happened. And that was the safety bear. And then every time that happened, my boss would come up and go, pretend like it was meant to happen. So, yes, the spinning head falling off, dangling, was meant to happen.
Yeah,
act like there's nothing wrong.
Sure, sure.
Act like the flaming bear head was meant to be.
Yeah.
It's all part of the show, folks.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'll tell you about how I got fired from that nonsense another time, but those are my four expo jobs.
I never got fired from my job.
Nope.
So that was a good part of that.
When did you actually end up quitting that job?
Quitting working
for... Well, how long did you work doing that?
Gee, it's almost embarrassing. I think like 20 years I worked for them.
Yeah. It's fine if it's a job that you don't mind.
It's called a rut, and I was very deeply embedded there.
But
I liked the job because they paid me more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
I had medical... dental, optical, and prescriptions paid for by them for working part-time. Plus, I didn't even have to work the day. I would get paid for holidays because I worked 2 days before the holiday.
And free parking in the city.
And free parking in the city at select lots, if I remembered my card. But yeah, no, it was a great job. I mean, I studied languages while I was working. I did crossword puzzles. I read books.
Well, I mean, as you've said too, I mean, you were looking for a job that was just a job.
Yeah.
It wasn't a job that I hope I work my way up to the parking lot thing and I own my own parking lot one day.
Yeah,
it's no, this is a job that lets you kind of relax and be you and do your own thing.
It is sort of weird because when I was a kid, I was at, maybe in grade eight, I had a dermatologist because I had terrible derms. So I went to a dermatologist, and this guy was from the turn of the colonial era, I believe. That's where his medical experience came from. He would take
a lot of leeches.
He would treat our face. This is how he treated our face. My brother and I.
To a day of ice cream.
Okay, you have to imagine my face, which basically going through high school, I look like a pizza that someone had vomited on. That was my complexion.
Okay.
And so he would treat that.
And yet still quite a handsome young man.
Was I? Never felt it.
Did you end up dating people in high school?
No.
That is not true. You did.
Maybe a little. But
okay.
Not, did I?
Yep.
Maybe once.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit. But not. It was terrible. Anyway, so this guy, this is his treatment. He would take this can, like a canister.
Yeah.
He would put dry ice inside it.
Oh, I don't like this so far.
And then he would rub it on our faces. And it was really painful.
Yeah.
Really painful.
It burns your face.
Yeah.
Did it work?
No. Not at all. It's painful.
Basically, it was giving you frostbite.
I don't know what the bleep it was, but it was terrible. But anyway, when I would go there, one time I was there, and I looked out the window, and I saw this guy down below.
Yeah.
He was working in a parking lot, but his work consisted of him sitting in a chair reading a book. And I thought, well, that job looks pretty good. That's a good job. So I guess
he had a bucket of water next to him. You took the dry ice, dropped it into, and then in all the confusion and fog, you took his job.
I took his job. But it's weird, because when I went with my friend to apply for this job, it didn't occur to me. I wasn't like, oh, man, this is my chance to get a job that I always wanted, sitting in a chair reading a book. But I got that job, and it was the job I always wanted, sitting in the chair reading a book and getting paid for it.
Yeah, I always thought it was nice because you didn't have the, you got time to lean, you got time to clean, Dedrick.
Yeah, no,
you know, you don't have that business going on.
Did it make you sweep
on
the laundry? It was really a weird job. It is kind of an odd job. But yeah, it's. I mean, now, unfortunately, for us former lot attendants, lot jockeys, I don't know what you call it.
This is your lot in life.
My lot in life is those jobs have all been replaced by machines. There's just no need for us. Do you need to go to a place to get insulted by some young kid? No, you don't. There's no machine there that is impossible to figure out, and you have to call someone, and they can insult you over the phone. You don't need me. in person, you know, insulting
what they've never, at least to my knowledge, never done a movie about. It's like they've had movies where, like, say, like an Ultron or something where the robots are taken over and they're going to try and attack the city.
Yeah.
I would like to see a movie where, a sci-fi movie like iRobot or what have you, robots are taken over and they end up fighting people who had their jobs taken from them by robots who are just hate robots for that. You know, just like, oh, now I get my revenge on this. Because there's a lot of people with that situation. Yeah,
it wasn't really robots that took over. It was just machines that you can put a credit card in. And that's basically why it's taken my, took my job away. So, but I mean.
But who are they going to yell at?
That's it. They can't say to the machine, they can't go, how do you sleep at night? You know, or do you have a gun? These are questions I got quite often. Yeah.
Don't like that one.
It's a, because it's robbery, right? It's robbery.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought because
you're robbing me with a gun.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
Do you and again, because, you know, you get to keep all the money. This is your own little booth.
I think we've talked about this before. To me, the most outrageous part of that question is the fact that the rates are clearly posted on the other side of the booth.
Right.
And also on this side, so you can see them as you come out. But they were there. You saw them when you came in. You saw that it was $1.75 half an hour. So you knew that. And so you, when you stayed an hour, you shouldn't be surprised that it's $3.50. And I'm, you know, now it's way more than that. It's pretty crazy how much it is.
Yeah.
But you know when you go in that you look at the sign and you go, oh, it's $3.50 every half an hour. Holy shit, that's expensive.
And if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know.
And it's not my fault. I do not benefit from this.
It's
and
funny.
I'm not here to take your crap.
I mean, cause I can understand, like, if you park outside, like, if you park in Langley, it's free. So that's fine, right? People, I can understand that. So when you park at a mall, it's free at the mall. You don't realize that all the stores that are at the mall are underwriting your parking.
I was talking to someone in my family who works in the service industry, and so has to deal with customers, and it's you know, like a coffee shop type environment. And she was talking about how basically, you know, to some customers, you're their 5-minute girlfriend.
Okay.
And you're they can talk to you and they'll flirt with you and they'll do all this stuff. And it's just annoying being that fucking 5-minute girlfriend for them. And I think there's the.
Because it would be okay if it was one person every once in a while, but it's everyone.
Yeah.
And it's always the same riffs that you're
getting
too.
Yeah, but I think there's the flip, which is, you know, this is the 5-minute, you know, scapegoat.
Sure.
You
know,
and so, that's your job.
Yep.
And I think both of those, hey, customer, fuck off. You know,
couldn't
no,
say that.
That's not what they're.
Couldn't say that. No, in so many words.
They should not say that, but I think just culturally, we should make that a thing that people are aware of. It's like, look, the person who's there, the waitress isn't there to flirt with you.
Yeah.
You know, she's there. She's going to be nice to you, but don't mistake this for that and don't abuse the fucking privilege. Also, don't just literally abuse someone when you know they didn't make the rules. They don't control the rules.
Yeah.
And you know what? They don't, like, listen. I understand they're being a jerk about the McChicken sauce. But brother, you know, I mean, don't get mad at them because, you know, they don't have it.
I didn't get mad at
them. If he had mayonnaise, he'd give you some fucking mayonnaise.
Sure.
You know, like, you're a horrible human being. How do you sleep at night? You don't give me that mayonnaise for my chicken. My daughter's here. She wants it on her fries. How dare you, sir?
I got a lot of that. Yeah, for sure. It does kind of get you down. And because you work by yourself in a booth, there's no one to vent with.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, yell at someone. What we did, there's three of us who worked on the weekend, two other guys, and we had a journal. It was supposed to be like for us to write incidents reports in.
Mm-hmm.
But it soon became like this long stream of consciousness, create, you know, like we drew cartoons in it. We wrote imaginary stories. We drew insulting pictures of the president of the company.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because my wife now teaches the former owner of the company I work for teaches her writing.
Ooh.
Which is kind of funny. But I mean.
It's the kind of book that would actually go great on Tumblr now.
Mm.
If anyone still had it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I still have them.
Why are these things not on Tumblr
then? Just because they were the ventings of young men that I don't think were not very PC at the time.
Yeah.
We're fine at the time, but now you'd look at it and go, why would you be drawing that at all?
I still think you should put those on there.
It's interesting.
I think that's a piece of history.
It is.
It seems like the kind of thing that actually would get quite popular.
Whatever.
Do it.
But it was pretty. It was interesting. I mean, my friend and I laugh about it now who we did it that worked with me there because, I mean, we both, now that we're older, we know what a great job it was. When what we got paid for what we did is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that you could make a living wage working in that job. Not us as working part-time, but even working part-time, I paid for university.
Yeah.
You know?
As you should. And that sounds like the right thing.
It does sound
like
the right thing.
The way things should
but
be.
But nowadays, it's pretty amazing.
You put in a full day's work. You should be able to pay for your university with a full day's work. How many more days do you have in a day?
Yeah. It's just not the same anymore. It's just not.
Yep.
It's not.
And that stinks.
Yes, it's true. It does stink.
Okay, wrapping up. We have to do what we always do before a popular movie comes on. We have to go, we're not going to see that movie.
We're not going to go see Captain America Civil War. I will not see that film.
All right, so we're not going to see that tonight?
I wasn't sold on Age of Ultron.
Okay.
And I'm off the Marvel things now.
All right, fair enough.
So I'm not going to go see it.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
What I would like to see the little scene at the end, this is what I would like to see.
Okay.
Because I know the Hulk is not in this movie.
Okay.
Because they can't use the Hulk for some reason. But I would love to see, like, at the very end, Bruce Banner.
The actor's busy making real movies.
Yeah. I would like to see the actor.
Now you see me, Bruce, too.
I would like to see Mark Ruffalo on that little bike from Avengers.
Okay.
Just show up, putt, 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 putt. And it's, like, just devastation all around. And him just show up, putt, 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 putt.
Yeah.
And no one's there. And he's missed it. And he just goes, what happened? Am I late? Oh. And he's sad. And
yeah.
He just goes and starts putting away. And then they start playing the sad Hulk music.
Oh, from the end of the show.
Which, I always like that. I love that music.
Okay.
I had a little joke that I wrote once saying I would love to have heard that music at the end of the last Avengers movie. You know,
whenever huge at comedy college, everyone.
That's right. Well, boy, we can actually talk about that for a sec. Because it's kind of a sad ending for the Hulk in the last Avengers movie. Like, that's the perfect music to play.
Yeah.
It's too bad they didn't. I'm playing the Lego game. Hey, guess what they used during that scene? Crank it up. They got the Hulk music from the TV show, and sad Lego Hulk is that music's playing. And it's like, yeah,
finally.
Well done. Well good done. For you, Lego thing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Guys,
here's I think the moral though from the comedy college thing.
Okay,
I look now.
We need a moral for the end of this episode.
Almost everybody that did well at comedy college did not do that well as the years went on.
No,
because it was very generic humor.
Yes, very
that
generic.
That you know appealed to this mass. Some of it was kind of race based, you know, and not the best. And the people that had kind of the weirder acts, I'm not necessarily including me in that. I'm including me on that. have found an audience for that weirdness over time.
Yeah.
So this is the, you know, you got to eat shit at the beginning, and that was a real shit eater. Yeah,
sure was.
Yeah, it wasn't quite you and me at a fair in Delta blowing up. A hamster balloon and having filled with fake blood and having children in the front row cry. That still was worse.
We didn't blow it up. I smashed it with my fist and popped the balloon.
That's right. Popped this balloon that was covered in. Now, how would you, how would you make a hamster? would you take a balloon? Sounds good. Would you fill it with fake blood?
Yep.
Would you do this at a county fair? Okay. You're going to hit it with your hand. It's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, you need some sort of fur on there. What are you going to do? Go to like a fake furrier or something covered up? Or are you instead going to, still can't believe we did this, are you going to go to a barber shop
and
go,
you do this?
Hey, you got any used hair? Use them? Yeah, we do, you freaks. Here, take this used hair. Sounds great. Off a human's head. Cover the balloon in glue. Roll it in human hair.
Yes.
And then, once again, this is Dave. Dave's on stage with me.
Yeah.
Punches down, explodes the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the aspect, you might go, you're getting spatters of fake blood on you at the county fair while you're eating your ice cream. That's not great, but it's followed by a cloud of human hair landing on your food, landing on your children, covering the stage.
Yes. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
That would have, that would have killed at high school, that bit. Would have killed. Would have killed.
Again, you gotta
know
your room.
Gotta know your audience.
Gotta
know your audience. We did not. We were rebellious teenagers, man.
Yeah,
but we're not letting the man bring us down.
But I'm going to tell you what that end up, and the moral of that story is.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to those two young lads who enjoy blowing up fake hamsters? What? Well, welcome to 2016. How about a podcast? And they can talk about their weird shit and yell about the Holocaust and then to have an opinion about Twin Peaks and make you guess about ambulances and do other stuff that the county fair would be staring at us going, boo! And comedy college would be going, boo!
That's right.
But apparently, you good people have listened to this to the very end because you're weirdos like us And thank you for being weirdos like us. Maybe you've got a job like Dave did and you're sitting somewhere and you're listening to this while you're doing the job. If so, brother, we feel you. We brothers in solidarity, sisters in solidarity, yes. Family in solidarity.
Exactly.
But thank you for putting up with our nonsense. We do appreciate it. And we love when you post stuff on our boards. Let me just say quickly, thank you to Heather for posting the story about how you got fired. That's yes. on our board. We appreciate that. We still love hearing your stories about how you got fired. We kind of talked about getting fired a bunch on this too. So I'm going to throw that open to this week as well and say, if you still have stories of how you got fired, maybe even spectacularly, much like ones that we have had, please post those. And I'm going to throw this now over to Dave because he's wrapping up the show this week. Go.
I will wrap up the show just by saying one little thing that we are, you know what? I don't have the information in front of me. We talked about it last week, but we're going to be doing a live show. If you live in Vancouver and if you'd like to see us do our stupid things live with two unfortunate victims, James Lloyd and Lucy Bellwood will be joining us at VanCaf, which is the weekend, I believe, of May 21st, 22nd. Am I right?
I think that's probably right. I'm going to look that up. Keep vamping.
They will be joining us for a live show.
How much will it cost, Dave, to get
in? It's free to get into VanCaf. You can get in free. You can see some of the most talented local cartoonists from here in Vancouver.
But just local.
And also from the Pacific Northwest. We have people coming up from Seattle, Oregon, people flying in.
But Dave, are there any famous comic strip authors that might be?
We're having a very famous comic strip author coming because Lynn Johnson is coming this year. She'll be doing a panel discussion on Saturday morning if you'd like to see that. I would love to see that. I'm sure it's going to be very busy though.
Yeah.
But I would love to see it.
She drew great dandruff on people.
She drew great dandruff on people.
She did. Whenever she was drawing her husband.
Who's worried and he's rubbing his hands through
his
hair.
Yeah, the dandruff be flying off. Oh boy, I cannot look this up right now. I've got
That's
no
okay.
signal.
I'm pretty sure it's May 21st because you know what? I'm going to be at VanCaf.
Yeah.
May 21st. We'll be doing the show at 5:45. Am I right?
Or yep. 4? Something like that.
At 5 o'clock.
5 sorry, o'clock,
5 to, o'clock 5 to 5:45. I'm sorry. 5 o'clock to 5:45 will be our show. Like I say, James Lloyd, Futurama, Simpsons, Our Next Door Neighbor. Lucy Bellwood, who does a great comic called Baggy Wrinkles, has sailed on tall ships. Hopefully great. She'll talk about that. And after the show's done, later that evening, I'm going to see the Buzzcocks, who are coming to town. I'm going to go see them play live. So I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Nice.
So that's going to be a nice big show
for me. And you're inviting everyone to come with you. You're
sure.
going to get tickets for anyone who wants.
Anyone who wants tickets,
all right.
They're welcome to email me.
Let me do my impression of
this address. Oh, sure.
Let me do my impression of, so you're Lynn Johnson and you're talking. I'll be in the back. Mm-hmm. And so say, hi, I'm Lynn Johnson.
Hi, I'm Lynn Johnson. I'm glad everyone
Why'd you kill Farley? I loved Farley.
We needed.
Why did you kill Farley?
We needed a dramatic. Well, Farley was going to die. Farley was going to die anyway.
Farley lives. Okay, there we go.
But wouldn't you rather have Farley die heroically than just die, because he's an old dog?
Farley killer.
That was a great moment. Oh man, that was so affecting
when
that happened in the
effective.
Strip. Oh my gosh, I read
it was
that
April's fault.
No, it was not. April couldn't help herself. She fell in the water. It's not her fault that she fell in the water. She's a little girl.
Yeah.
And Farley gave up his life. He sacrificed his life heroically to save her. I'm actually getting a little because made me so sad when it happened.
Do you know who got upset about that? Charles Schulz.
He did.
Yeah. He got upset. How could you do this? So upset. And then he went for a long skate on his rink.
But he,
angry skate.
But she was right. She was right to do
and
that.
Then he, and then he said, hey, you know what? We should go out for a Big Mac. Hey, coincidentally, it's got two patties, much like my comic strip.
Has two patties.
Yep.
Legendary joke, everyone. So, if you'd like to complain about this show, you can write to the following addresses. You can email us, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can go to our website, which is sneakydragon.com, and you can write to us on our message boards, i.e. comment under the show. You can reach us at our Facebook page, which is Sneaky Dragon. You can follow us on Twitter. You can talk to us on Twitter at @sneaky_dragon.
Please don't use that many @s or it will not work.
And you can also follow us on Tumblr. We have a Tumblr site.
Sneakydragon.tumblr.
Sneaky Dragon, that's right. And that's all.
And let me
just add one more thing.
Sorry. I want to throw a compliment at you. Okay. Can I throw a compliment before you do your wrap-up? Very nice title card last week. I always like your title cards.
Okay.
But you did one of Casper, but recreating William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Yes.
But with Casper and Spooky.
Yeah.
That's been getting a lot of nice feedback from people, as well it should. Look on the internet. You'll see.
Okay.
That was great. So just compliments. And by the way, if you want to see any of Dave's art from past episodes, just click on art on our page. He's got a link to all the past title cards.
Well, thank you. And speaking of that, there are new t-shirts on the website. If anyone would like a shirt, I have put up shirts that we thought might be popular or people have expressed interest in. So the Sneaky Dragon as Terminator is there. The Sneaky Dragon riding a unicorn jumping over a rainbow is there. Our Star Wars one, Sneak Wars, with the Brothers Hildebrandt, the famous Brothers Hildebrandt painting that hung in my bedroom for many years when I was a child, with the mysteriously, strangely anonymous Luke and Leia, because it was painted before they were cast.
And before they were siblings.
Before they were siblings. And the...
They are not together in a way that brother and sister should be.
Have you seen that little Tumblr meme with...
No, I have. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's really good.
Is it really? Is it kind of like an incest porn thing?
It's kind of like that, but it's a great little cut.
I'm opposed to that, but...
It's a great little cut. Maybe I'll link to it on the site.
You should link to it, then we should get rid of it.
And then... what else did I put up there? There's one more. Oh, the Doctor Strange. The Doctor Strange title card with Ian and I as Doctor Strange and Sneaky Dragon as Dormammu, Sneaky Dormammu.
Right.
And then the one that you like a lot, the Charlie Brown one with Sneaky Dragon at the psychiatrist.
I might buy that one.
And so all those are available now at the website. And if you're interested, you can go there. Just go to the website, look at merchant, I think it's merch or store or something like that. And if you just click on the top, it'll take you to, if you click on store or merch or whatever it says, it'll take you right to the page that has this like long list of shirts now. And you can look at them all, and maybe you want one.
Yeah, everyone likes a shirt.
It's summertime, time for t-shirts.
Yep, living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton count is high because they're 100% cotton shirts, I think.
Yes, they are. They're very nice shirts, actually. And it's a really good process that we use to make them. I'm always impressed.
Yep.
Every time I take my daughter's, my daughter has the Ghost Dragon one, which is a very colorful shirt. And I'm always amazed that it's still very colorful and looks great. It has a bit of cracks in it and stuff from it's been like 3 years she's been wearing it.
Well, so. I say buy her a new one for her birthday.
Maybe I should. So everybody, thank you for listening to the show. I'm sorry about the boring ending there. That was not too exciting. But we will be interesting next week when you tune in again to Sneaky Dragon. Thank you for listening.
And we are not off to the movies now.
Not at all.